at 590. The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You had to do it. You had to play it. Thanks, Josh. I knew that wasn't on your aux cord, but appreciate the effort to get that one in there.
Good audible. Omaha.
Good audible. Happy Friday, everybody. It's The Fan Morning Show with Brent and Ailish today. Rounding out your week, getting you set up for another big series. Blue Jays only play important games here in September. Our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Tim Leeper, former Blue Jays first base coach, joins us this morning. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Good, Ailish. How are you guys doing? You guys all right today?
Oh, we're always all right. You know, best job in the world. Can't complain.
Early morning.
Yeah, you know what? We're young. We're young and fresh-faced. It's fine. Some of us are.
Yeah, mostly Ailish.
Sorry, Brent. Okay, so last night or yesterday afternoon, the Jays, and what was a good series win with kind of a stinker. What's that like as a coach in that you know, clubhouse, kind of finishing on a sour note? Is it easy to just flush that, or is there something that they got to, you know, refresh going into tonight?
I think it's not so hard to flush it. Obviously, you want to win, but, like, I think especially with the Rays, it's not always easy against them, but to win a series is always good against whether it's at home or on the road. You have to let it go, because, you know, whether you lose 1-0 or 11-0, like, it's a loss. And the only thing you can do is I think Hank Schneid said it best. You kind of just flush it and go on. But if you look at the series as a whole, I mean, you can see how open I think that the playoff run is going to be, or, like, even when you get to the playoffs, like, it's going to be anybody's ball game. But, you know, when you go out and you compete with the Rays, and sometimes that's not always easy to do. I thought it was a really successful series for them.
Yeah, it was. Anytime you're able to win more games than you lose in one, especially a team that you were chasing and now you're kind of knotted up with there, it's a huge series. And, you know, I just kind of want to touch on what Gausman was able to give them yesterday. Obviously, he gets touched up with the homer in the second. That's not the outing he wants to have. But with the bullpen game coming, the fact that they're in this huge crush of all very important games right now, you have a series against the team that you can kind of finish off for the year, for lack of a better term, coming up. How important was it out of Gausman to get the seven innings that you did out of him, even though he wasn't at his, you know, necessarily best?
It's you see so much in guys, and it's not, you know, it's funny in this business. I always say this: you learn a lot more about guys when things aren't great as when they are, because when everybody's dealing or everybody's getting hits, you know, everybody's a great guy. But when you go out and you spot them an early lead, and you know you got to give the team innings, to go out and still throw seven innings, like, that's huge. And it just shows what a good guy is, because you're not going to go out and just deal every time and win every game. But every inning in the major leagues is really important. And when you go out and eat innings like he did yesterday, and he's a guy that you count on, kind of, he's pretty much your ace, him and Alec. But what he did for the team yesterday, knowing what was going on, like, that's the kind of stuff that kind of guys build around and kind of rally around. And, like, that was a great outing. I know it resulted in a loss, but, again, you earn huge teammate points, and long term, I think that's going to be a huge game for him yesterday.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that does for the clubhouse to have a guy be able to do that. Obviously, you know, Gausman's one half of the battery. Yesterday, the other half was Moreno. Now, this is a guy I've been clamoring for. I thought it made a lot of sense for him to be one of the extra bodies that came up in September. And by no means am I putting the outing yesterday on Moreno, but just how difficult is it for a young catcher to come up at a time like this in the year? Now, he is not completely new to these guys. He has worked with them at certain points throughout the year. There's some familiarity there, but it just felt like Gausman was shaking off a fair amount. It didn't feel like they were on exactly the same page. Just how tough a spot is it for a guy like Moreno to come up? And, you know, it's tough to play any position at this time of year, but to catch, it's just so crucial. How big an ask is that of Moreno at this time of year?
It's giant. I mean, and again, it's not his fault. It's just two guys having the ability to work with each other and be on the same page with each other, and you kind of read each other's thoughts. And it's a great question, because that was the first thing I asked. I actually texted Ben yesterday. I'm wondering, hey, why did Moreno catch today? And like I'll tell you, being a catcher and coming into the major leagues as a catcher, and then coming in the pennant race late in the season when the guys have like 25, 30 starts under their belt, like that's a monumental task. Like it's really hard. It's hard, and you can prepare all you want, and you can talk to Jan all you want, you can talk to Kirk all you want, but when you're down there putting fingers down and you're trying to get in sync on the same page with the guy, it's difficult. It takes a little while to do that, and catching, you get overloaded with so much information on not only on the opposing team, but also having the knowledge of your guy. It's a lot, and it's hard. I mean, it was kind of born out of necessity yesterday, because I think Danny's going to have to catch quite a bit the next few days with Kirk banged up a little bit. But, yeah, it's tough. It doesn't mean he's not good. It doesn't mean he's not the right guy in the right spot. He has to catch, but it's really, really difficult.
Looking ahead to tonight's kickoff of the next homestand once again against the Orioles. They were a great story to follow this summer. It was fun. They were, kind of gritty and unsung. Now they're scuffling a bit. They really need these three wins against the Blue Jays to have any chance of making the postseason. And the Jays historically haven't been the greatest against the Orioles this weekend. How do you mitigate not playing down to an opponent this weekend and keeping your foot on the gas?
I think they know what the Orioles are. I mean, because they're not that far removed from the Orioles, like, beating up on them, too. Mm-hmm. So I think you remember those things. And one thing, it doesn't really matter. Like, you're in the division, the American League East. Like, every game becomes really tough. Because like, even those years Tampa was really bad, they always had our number. And they always, they've always played the Jays well. And I think Baltimore is kind of the same thing. It doesn't matter who the players are and how many different years of change since the last big series. Like, they're competitive games, and they, these teams match up really well. And even though the Jays really did play well against them and kind of handed it to them the last time, Baltimore's won a couple games, they know what's at stake. And I just look at the rest of the schedule and you're like, okay, it could be easy, there's some breathing room. And then you kind of look at it and it's all these division games coming up and you realize it's really not going to be that easy. I mean, this wave we've been riding for like the last month and a half, it's actually great. As a fan, it's been awesome. But like, you realize that you got to take care of business and you really can't overlook anybody right now. And the Orioles are still good enough to come up and bite you.
Do you think that that's actually a better spot for the team to be in? I mean, obviously, in a certain sense, you'd love a cupcake schedule and you can just rack up wins and waltz into the playoffs. But do you think the fact that they, especially for a team that's young, that hasn't kind of been through a bunch of pennant races or doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, do you think it can benefit them if, when they do get into the playoffs, the fact that they've been playing playoff baseball for, a month and change by the time it rolls around? This series against the Rays, all the big series against the O's, they're going to have Tampa again. It just feels like it could kind of help get this team in the right mindset, or maybe am I reading too much into that, Tim?
No, I look at it because, again, the wild card teams have done really well. I mean, historically, they've done. It's usually the team, but it was under a different format, too. So usually that last wild card team that got in, some of these teams that went on to win the World Series, I mean, they came in late with, like, really big, August or really big Septembers. I think this year's a little bit different because I think, here you are, we're still a couple weeks out, and you're in that playoff spot, and you kind of have that feeling, and it's like you're not really – you're kind of fighting because you're not really fighting to chase the Yankees, even though you want to, and then that's your goal. But at the same time, you're also really not being challenged by someone underneath you. So I think it's a little bit different. No team's going to have to really, unless a team sneaks in there, is really going to have to work to get in, whether it's the White Sox or maybe even the Orioles. I don't think they're good enough to do it. But I think this year with the extra team, I think it's a little bit different. I think you're going to see teams that, actually won their divisions have a little bit more of an advantage over the teams that, like, played great in September going into the playoffs, kind of like we did back in 16.
Tim, we talk about how important offense is going to be consistent down the stretch here. Bo Bichette has been having a breakthrough month, to say the least. Where does Bo's last stretch rank in terms of Blue Jays that you've coached or Blue Jays that you've seen don that uniform?
there hasn't been too many, because historically I think that was pretty good what he's going through right now. I think the best month I ever saw, obviously Donaldson was good the whole year in 15, but back in 14, Edwin and Encarnacion hit like 17 home runs in May, and I think we went on an unbelievable stretch where we won a ton of games. And really, with my time with the Jays, I think it was like our best month and a half. But to hit 17 home runs in a month in the American League East, and he wasn't doing it against bad teams or bad guys, and a lot of it was in division. Like, that's pretty much dominating a month. But what Bo's done over the last like 2-3 weeks, and just the quality of the at bats and the depth of the at bats, and he's seeing the ball so good. And you know, he knows, like, when he gets rung up on that pitch, it's just a little bit out of the zone, and you know that he knows it's a strike. It can get really frustrating, but still to do the things he's done has just absolutely been incredible. If one guy gets hot around him, then they're going to be really dangerous.
So I want to ask you about Vladdy, but I do want to pick up on what you just said about Bo there. You know, I think the gut reaction from a lot of people, fans, when they're watching this, first is just enjoy it. This is amazing. This guy is so red hot. And you're right. Everybody, that Edwin Encarnacion month is going to be forever the tentpole month for a Jay of, can you get that hot? Because I refuse to believe anybody can ever go better than that. But I think the question a lot of people have with Bichette is, why can't this be or something close to this all the time? He is a streaky player. He's gone through slumps, but you see the other side of that is being this guy. Do you think that people just have to accept to a certain extent that great ball players are going to, especially ones who have the approach Bo has, are going to have this kind of boom and bust cycle? Or do you think there's a world where as he matures, there's a little more smoothing out and he's able to kind of carry these streaks through, maybe not quite as hot, but for longer periods of time?
That's such a great question, and yes, I it is kind of who he is. And again, I think a lot of the when he goes into the little funks or whatever you want to call them, it's because he tries to be that guy. He tries to be the guy that pleases. I'll say this, like, again, he's a tough guy, and there's a lot of guys like this, but he's a tough guy to judge on like 100 bat sample sizes. You know, you're going to look up at the end of the year, and here we were 2 weeks ago, like, thinking, oh my God, like, what's wrong with him? What's going on? But you always take him over the 500 at bats. You look up, now he's going to have close to 100 RBIs. He's going to be, you know, 280. He's going to have close to 800 above OPS. And that's just kind of who he is. But I also think with guys, he's still so, you know, so new into his career. But guys, even with that approach, will learn to shrink the zone a little bit and get a little bit more efficient. So, again, I think you have to accept what it is. I think you have to know. I think that's why you have a team and you build teams around this. Because the one thing I like about this team, if the Bo's not hot, then somebody else gets hot. Or, you know, there's a lot of guys to pick each other up. So, again, I think you just live with it. You realize it's good. And then you just don't ride the wave so much. Just realize at the end of the year, this guy's going to put you in a position to win games. And he's shown that he can do that throughout his career. And he keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see him turn it on. I don't know if you saw this, but big news in Blue Jays land. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. with a quote, Tim, about being open, considering a long-term deal with the team. Yeah, if they're going to give him the money, I think he's due. I think we'd all be open to that. I'm not going to ask you if you expect to get a deal done or what you think the number's going to be, but what is it like in the clubhouse? Now, this is very different from the 15-16 teams. The 15-16 teams, guys were paid. Guys were deep in their major league careers. This group is going to go through something very different. Yes, there's the Springers and the Chapmans who are getting paid right now, but Vladdy's going to be due a raise. Bichette, Manoah, what do you think it can do to a clubhouse? And I'm not even saying it in a divisive way. I just think it's an interesting dynamic to have all these guys at this stage of their career where the contracts are starting, as opposed to the 15 and 16 group where a lot of them were kind of not in the back end of it, but were already paid.
It's kind of funny because when you're playing and you're immersed day to day, like, it doesn't matter, or except for the guy who's obviously going through this. And I don't know. I don't think he's going through it. I think he probably just got a question at a time and just made a statement. And I don't think there's a whole lot to read into. Of course, I mean, of course, he loves it there and he wants to stay there. But you don't really think about it from a player to player. And I think the biggest one we had is when Jose Bautista was kind of, you know, they were trying to negotiate a deal or he wanted a deal and all that stuff. But it never really affected, like, what went on. It didn't affect the way he played. I mean, everything was still good in the clubhouse and all those things. I'll tell you one thing. When you go through negotiations like this and one of the bigger things we had to manage as coaches was like the relationship with guys had with the front office. So like if the front office, if that turns sour or there's some kind of thing, that kind of snuck in more than just the actual like trying to build and get something done. So I think everybody in the clubhouse is happy for guys or and you're just a little different because you're kind of about going about your day every day and trying to win a baseball game. But like sometimes the emotions of you know, as a baseball player, you don't just turn off, you know, your competitiveness, you know, in other parts of your life. So when you're negotiating a contract, sometimes you're being competitive too. And like sometimes just managing the emotion of like guys and having personality conflicts with people, that was like the bigger issue than like just the, you know, trying to get the contract done thing.
Tim, we're rounding the corner here, September baseball to postseason baseball. How great is it to be at the Rogers Center when the stakes are high and the fans are rowdy and everything matters?
Every city is really good when you win. Toronto is unbelievable. I mean, it was like a rock concert for like two straight years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, playing in there on a Monday night with like 45,000 people, like it's incredible. And the city, this, like I think, or I'm gonna say our city, like comes alive like nobody else when you're winning. And when you're walking down the streets and everybody's got the Blue Jay gear on and stuff, like it's the greatest feeling in the world. Like these next few weeks, like it's heaven down there. And it, I mean, great memories, and it's a great time. And for the players that play and live through this, and even the teams that come in and oppose you, they realize how good it is when you get here. And, like, I don't think there's any city better when things are like they are right now.
I can't wait. I'm heading down there tonight. I know there's a lot of great games lined up this weekend, some good pitching matchups. Not really tonight, but should be fun. Maybe good a lot of runs for the fans. Thanks, Tim, for joining. We'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Ayla. See you later, Brett.
Take care.
Tim Leeper, former Blue Jays first base coach, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
So it's just, I imagine for you, you know, there's one thing. You're heading to the Rogers Center, you're all geared up for a Jays game, and you got Manoa or Gossman on the bumper. Hey, even Stripling, the way he's going this year, and you got one of your big dogs, you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of a different feeling when you're going. And I don't know who it'll be, but it's like, all right, David Phelps.
It will be somebody.
Go get him, Phelpsy. Come on. Give us two not terrible innings. It's like, as opposed to go get him, it's let's all get through this. That's kind of what it feels like with the opener. It's just,
certainly
hey, look,
what it
is
feels
what it
like.
Is. It is what, look, you're going to be more excited if it was Mitch White? No. So.
You know what? Maybe I get to see a lot of different Blue Jays, and you know, maybe I get to see a lot of runs scored by either team.
Go.
But you know what? It'll be wonderful to just be there Friday night. Hopefully the weather's nice. It's got a little chillier. You're not sweating in the sun. There's a lot of positives. No loony dogs, but might have to have one just to prepare for next Tuesday where they return and we have to
get
redeem
your
ourselves.
In.
Get your training
get
in.
Your training. Get your reps in.
Yeah, you know, it's people got to train in the off season. It's
right.
It's you know. We're full fledged in Looney Dogs world,
like,
but you got one
like a pitcher.
Chance.
You got to stay stretched out.
Having
you got to stay ready. There you go. Crushing dogs
boy.
In the pen.
Let's give the fans something to be excited about. Maple Leaf tickets.
Hello.
We're giving away Maple Leafs tickets to start the 2022-2023 season, and they have a preseason game on September 24th, a week and a day away, 1 p.m. against
your boy will be in the building,
that's
Brent
right.
Gunning,
Let's
in the
go.
Flesh.
Maybe with this giveaway, you get to meet Brent Gunning. Now, you know, yeah. Never say never. Yeah. That's
shoot,
part of the
shoot
perks.
Shoot me a DM. Stranger things have happened, let me tell you.
1 p.m. against the Ottawa Senators. All you have to do is listen for the daily code word, and today is your last chance. So pull out your phones. Today's code word, Nylander.
Oh.
Text Nylander to 590-590 for your chance to win Leafs preseason tickets. This is it. Your last chance. September 24th, 1 p.m. Best of luck. The bonus of today's giveaway is a meet and greet with Brent Gunning.
is that a punishment or a reward? Really, it's up to you. I don't know.
It's a perk, I think. It would be wonderful.
Okay.
You know,
there you go. I'm tall. I feel like that's the thing. I don't know how. I don't know if people know that. That might be the jarring part for you. I'm fairly tall.
Yeah. So. My favorite part of these giveaways is the text line once you announce the word.
Exploding.
So far, zero of them have been spelled correctly.
Lot of,
look at
let
them
me
all.
Tell you.
My
Lander. Lot of people in the car. And let me tell you, Siri, not a Leafs fan, apparently.
We have about, I don't know, 15 texts, and actually zero of them so far are spelled correctly.
Oh, we got. We've even got like a Nylander in not yet.
Mylander, Nylander, Mylander, Nylander, Mylander, Nylander. Wow, guys, you got this. Come on, just take the time. Take the time. But yeah, best of luck, everybody. Maple Leafs back in action. You know, we were sprinkling around some other text line questions.
Actually, quickly. Before,
yes, please.
Is it not? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and I feel like I am the. I'm like, what are those like sticks you use to find water? I feel like I'm that for Leafs buzz. And have you ever seen this? Like out in the wild, there's like I think they're called like dowering rods or something, and you can use them to find like natural sources of water. I feel like I am that for finding.
What are you, like
Leafs.
A pioneer?
Yeah, I guess. And I feel like I am that for finding Leafs excitement and buzz. And I just feel like it's really kind of lacking this year, quite honestly. Like, I think it's partially
Jay's.
Are
you not tuning into the prospect tournament in Detroit?
No, look, I am, okay? It's funny. I was watching the highlights of that this morning, and Nick Robertson had a terrible giveaway. And I was going to bury him for it. But then he did the only thing you can do to counteract that, and it was – he had a beautiful goal, snipe central. So I'm already all the way back in on Robertson. So, yes, I am locked in. But I think it's partially just the way all of these playoffs losses have gone in years past. Mm-hmm. It's the Jays being as hot and they're back and everything.
I think you're right.
It just feels like there is just – and look, the second puck drops here and the season's ready to go. People will be excited. Crowd will be full. Like, I'm not – questioning any of that, but it's just in general conversations, you know, I'm trying to get them going, but I'm not having many takers on like who's going to be the 4C this year. Where do we like Cali Yarncroak slotting in? Like, it just feels like people are not ready to have those conversations yet, and it is kind of telling in terms of what all these losses have done to the fan base. Once it's here, people be excited and ready to go, but it doesn't feel like the season is right around the corner.
Maybe because it still feels like we're holding on to summer, too, weather-wise. You know?
Definitely something.
You know, I haven't felt like the fall is creeping in as much. There's been some colder mornings, but like yesterday, a couple days this week, beautiful. You still feel like you can go down to the ballpark in, you know, a bit of we've had some daytime games, so it feels more summery. I think the change is around the corner, though.
This will shock you on the text line, people saying they'd rather meet and greet with you at the game than me. This will shock you.
That's very nice of them.
It's very, very kind.
I don't think that's part of the plans, unfortunately.
No, definitely not.
It's Brent Gunning or no one, okay? If you get the chance to go to the Leafs game on Saturday.
If you're lucky enough.
You could be going home with a special prize of not only the tickets, but a meet and greet with Brent Gunning.
A firm handshake.
Maybe. Would you give someone a picture?
Sure.
Oh, pictures of the fans.
I am the least photogenic human alive, but yeah, I would gladly Google up your picture with you, whoever
Beautiful.
It is who wins these tickets.
What about the person that texted in Noodles Lander?
That's pretty good.
Y'all are getting creative.
Oh, we got one. We just got our first one, but it's not even a person. They said we should spell it out for everybody because apparently everyone can't.
Come on. You can't spell Nylander. You shouldn't be going to Leafs game.
You really shouldn't. Really shouldn't. Really shouldn't.
Okay, guys. We're going to do Wake and Rake next. We set up today's game. Unfortunately, the Blue Jays lines aren't up yet because pitcher is TBD, followed by TBD, followed by TBD, followed by bullpen, followed by bullpen, followed by TBD. Maybe a position pitcher.
Bradley, get that arm loose, buddy.
What are the odds on Bradley pitching tonight?
I'd like to see him.
Not Jackie Bradley Jr.
Both things.
He would be good, though.
Either or. We've talked about it. This team is versatile. They got guys that can do a little bit of everything. What's Santiago Espinal up to? They always tell me he's the emergency. Can I request something? If we get into full-blown emergency situation and we've got position players pitching, everybody tells me Santiago Espinal can catch in a pinch. I'd like to see it. I would like to see it. If it gets that way. I don't want the game to dictate it. I would not like all three catchers the Blue Jays have to get hurt to where Espinal needs to get in the game. But if it's blowout central and you got Bradley Zimmer on the hill doing Lord knows what, popping it in there at probably 84, then can we please get
84 is pretty good.
That is good. I'm not like I didn't say it like a slight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm impressed. What do you think you could throw?
not anywhere near 84.
Pitching.
I guarantee you. I like try to be cool about it, and then I'm not happy with the number, and then I like really kill myself to get to like 68, and then I can't throw a ball ever again in my life, I think is how that would go.
That's how I felt when I went to the CNE 2 weeks ago. I played that. That one game where you have to
chucking the stuff and stuff.
I honestly thought I needed Tommy John when I got home. I was sore for like a week.
Oh, man. I was this is old dad injury here, but I was at the park with my kid yesterday, and he was just like, hey, throw the ball like high in the air and far. So I did, and it's like, God, my arm. I'm not built to do this anymore. I didn't have a proper. Yeah, I'm like, hey, we got to do a little soft toss before we get going, then stretch it out, then do long toss. No, just right into the heat of a fire of chuck this ball as far and high as you can. And yeah, I don't think I can ever throw again. So there you go.
Did he catch it?
No, God, no.
Oh.
Just looked at it, went,
not an athletic kid.
Oh, no, please. We're working on catching. He's already Babe Ruth Jr. in the backyard.
Are you putting your son in sport? Like, you know, what's the game plan there?
I mean, I've literally from, I have a picture of before he can walk, I went and got like a dollar store golf club set, and he was just sitting there hitting him while he's sitting on his butt. We got all the sports going on. Had him on the ice before he was one.
Nice.
Got a tee ball, got like an official tee ball tee in the backyard, just launching bombs. So, yeah, I don't know what.
What's he excelling at the most right now?
I would say he's power hitter. Doesn't have a lot of average in his game. He's a real throwback Adam Dunn type power hitter. Just 50 bombs, 8 trillion strikeouts. That's his game. And, yeah, we're working on hockey a little too. So
what's his draft year? Got to keep eyes on it.
I do. This bad hockey dad by me that I don't know. I'll be honest. Right now, my chief goal is to try to get him into T-ball a year early next summer. So that's what we're. That's
honestly,
what we're
you got some good goals.
Right,
I'm excited to follow along.
Okay, there you go. Please, again, please don't tempt me, because I'll do a 3-hour show just talking about the athletic exploits of my son.
I would absolutely love that. If you need any on-ice coaching, I would be willing to volunteer my time.
His old man stinks at skating. Terrible skater, so he's going to need it.
That's where I can come in handy.
I'm happy to do it.
Appreciate it.
I'd gladly take you up on it.
Okay, we'll discuss it. Maybe in the wintertime, get out to an outdoor pond.
It's all coming together.
You can get a photo with me. Like all the people in the text line.
Everybody on the text line wants. They'll be so jealous of Gord. There we go.
Okay, let's take a break. Get into the Wake and Rake. Presented by Unibet. I have a very exciting, personal, non-humble brag to share with you all.
No, what's the point of bragging if it's humble?
I can't wait to hear this. I will own it. That's next. It's the Fan Morning Show with Brendan Ehlers. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
It's Friday on The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Brent Gunning, and myself. Time is winding down before you get to enjoy your weekend, and hopefully we give you a little extra spending money. Time for the Wake and Rake. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Now, yesterday, Cabbie Richards, you might know him.
I've heard.
He joined the Ailish Hour. And we went down a quick little rundown of what our Thursday night football bets were. And I said the following on air. Josh Palmer is a lock for a touchdown tonight. And I said the lock word, which is risky business. He obviously recorded it. He took a video and he posted it on the internet and said, are you guys riding with Ailish tonight or not? And I was like, I didn't really expect that to happen.
I did like your quick little sports gambling voice. You ready to ride? Like everybody does it. We're all guilty of it.
Yeah. And so I was put on blast, and all day long I had this knot in my stomach. I thought, wow, it's going to be pretty embarrassing when
the SN Bets crew is going to come for me if this doesn't hit.
They will come for me, and I will lose all credibility as a gambler. Late in the game, the game is winding down. Justin Herbert has no ribs left. Darkness is starting to fall.
I think we were talking about him putting them back in, like they were shoulders.
He was adjusting his ribs. He, at one point, threw the ball out of bounds because he couldn't handle it. And I thought, oh, no, this is it. And then the miraculous moment where Josh Palmer gets his touchdown.
Hello.
And everyone's asleep, so no one's there to actually, like, fill in when I'm, like, I retweet it. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, one like. I was like, guys, come on. That was such an accomplishment. I was so proud of myself. And I also, like, truly had, you know, put $5 on it. I thought I should have really, like, put my payday out there and posted the bet slip. So I won, like, $12. Anyway, it was a very incredible accomplishment in my young career as a sports gambling talker. And I would just like to allow for myself to have a moment of gratitude.
Of course.
Of appreciation. Thank you.
Of course you should. I mean, you look like, you know me, I love golf. So mm-hmm. I was talking about golf bets heading into majors or anything. And the great thing about golf bets is that if you hit one, you can do like head to heads where you're getting like, oh, plus 108 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if you're gambling on a guy to win a golf tournament, even the favorites, you're looking at absolute minimum plus 750, yeah, plus 1,000. So I've hit some 16-1 Ooh. Golf majors, and it's a great feeling. So absolutely good on you. Own it, Ailish.
Thank
Own
you.
The feeling. Feels great.
Thank you. I'm really proud of myself. No pressure for today, eh?
Well, I mean, yeah, you did. Yeah, I was going to say, like, the good news is we have a weekend where people can forget by the time Monday rolls around. But if you had a show tomorrow, then this is risky business.
I might give another lockout and just see if I can string together two.
Okay.
You know what? If you got to go big or go home, and I will be going home after the show, so you can't bug me. But I think I have a lock for a Blue Jays home run tonight.
Okay.
And I will be at the game.
Me.
You want me to do it already? Okay.
I would love to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh boy, I'm nervous now. Okay. So, Blue Jays, Orioles lines aren't up yet because the Blue Jays haven't confirmed who their starting pitcher will be or pitchers that will be appearing in tonight's bullpen game. So, I can't give you the odds on this, but I'm just going to predict, you know, just knowing we talk about this every day. It's Jordan Lyles on the mound for the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Chapman is hitting 368 against him, 4 home runs and 6 RBIs. I love Matt Chapman. I think he, as we mentioned over the last week, could be somewhat of a consistent MVP type conversation. I don't think he's in that award, but a lot of text line agreed that he's been a heartbeat of this team at many times. Matt Chapman tonight to get a home run. Should I say the lock word? I'm just going to do it.
I don't want to push you anywhere. You don't want to go.
Live a little. I'm going to say it. I don't know the odds on it. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it's around like plus 425. I'm just going to guess, like literally with no knowledge whatsoever other than just memory. Plus 425, Matt Chapman, possibly on Unibet. Once it comes up, I'll update the odds. But that's what I like from the Blue Jays today. I'm going to be going to the game. I also really like the over, which we have no idea what that is. I mean, assume it's 9.5.
I like it.
But
I
love
that.
But you know that the people that could be pitching for the Blue Jays could easily help get that number up there.
Bullpen games are always dicey, right? Like, there's the world where, because you only got, like, you're only asking a guy to go through the order once, absolute most twice. Like, there's mm-hmm. a world where you do get some decent pitching because it's, okay, you got what you could out of that guy, get another arm in there. But there's always somebody who stubs their toe. There's going to be a reliever in this game. Last night it was Richards. Who knows who it'll be today? Somebody's getting lit up.
Do you think
okay?
that we see Kikuchi tonight?
Could be. If you're looking at a game where you're just trying to, it all depends on the script, right? I still don't think you're going to them in spots you feel really good about. But if it's a spot where you're up 3 runs or you're kind of down 3 runs, I can see a world where he gets in there and you ask him to do a bit of a bulk roll. I think it all depends on the script. I think if you're in a spot to win a game, I don't know that you see him. But if you're not, then I think it's still very much in play there. What do you think?
What a treat. That's what I think.
Okay.
Expect anything tonight. Toronto Blue Jays and the Orioles. You know, the Orioles just also lost the game 17-4 the other day.
Yikes.
There's been some funky stuff going on. But yeah, 7 p.m. tonight. No idea yet who's starting. Don't know the lines yet, but feel good about Matt Chapman. We did get a text that he's like one for in September, ice cold choppy, and I said, you know what? Time to get hot. Perfect.
No better time than now. And here's the other part of it. He's due.
Yep.
He's absolutely due.
I love it. All right. So this week, Haley and I were on the show and we previewed every single NHL division except for the Metro, which we left for today. Brent, get to put a little bit of insight on some of these teams, like who you like, who you think has taken steps forward. I'll just read some of the lines first that are on Unibet for futures just to win the division. So Hurricanes coming in with the best odds or the lowest odds to win, plus 185. Followed by the Rangers, plus 300, Pens, 325, Islanders, 900, Capitals, 1,000, Devils, 2,000, Columbus, even with Johnny Hockey, plus 4,500, and Flyers, plus 7,500. Those are your odds just to win the division. There's a lot, futures for Stanley Cup, a couple of those teams, futures for divisional winners, but just looking at the shakeup of how the Metro looks, is anything that stands out to you?
Well, if I'm going to get cute, and I'm not, I want to be clear about this. I would not bet this because I don't think this is plausible. But if you're going to get cute, I can talk myself into a world where the Devils are a bit of a factor.
Wow.
They've had many top draft picks. They've paid their guys. They're just kind of in that timeline for a team that has been built this way, where if it's going to pop off overnight, this is the time. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you're looking for a long shot play in the division, that's the team I'd be sitting there talking myself into. But honestly, can you talk yourself into anybody other than the top two teams in this division? I mean, I know it's the Crosby magic and everything, but how many times have we seen this? Capitals are old. Jackets are the Jackets. The Flyers are the Flyers. Like, I to me, it feels like a two-horse race in the Rangers and the Hurricanes. What about you?
I couldn't agree more. I really like the Rangers. If you're looking for something plus 300 over plus 185, I guess that's a little bit better, but I don't have much confidence in the Penguins right now. I think that I was surprised that they're so close to that top two. I know they have a lot of excellent hockey players, but they are also in what seems to be the end of their careers, on their way out, aged a little bit. That's why I like the Rangers with a little bit more youth and spunk.
I can hear a world where if the bet was which of these teams will have the best results at the end of the playoffs, I can hear a world where the Penguins, with guile and know-how, find a way to outlast those other two teams. But over the race of an 82-game season, the bodies are not going to be able to hold up. Crosby's going to need his days off. Letang, like, everybody's just going to need their time off, their time to rest up. And even if they don't need it, it's just not going to be able to bring it every single night. And, I know Crosby would tell you he does, and he will, but it's just he's 36 years old. Like, it's kind of crazy, or he's right around there, 34, 35, somewhere in that. It's nuts how old Sid the kid is now, no longer a kid. So I think that is complete. Like, we always talk about public teams. I think the Penguins are probably the most public non-Canadian team in the NHL. So I think that's kind of why their number ends up there. I think realistically, I wouldn't put them kind of in a spot with the Islanders, because I do think they have a lot more talent there, but they should be kind of in that more plus 600 range as opposed to plus 325. Like, they feel like the perfect team to me to kind of split the difference, because the Islanders, I mean, I understand they had the year from hell last year and the long road trip, and they just never got right, and they probably should have got a break with the COVID scheduling when other teams did and they didn't. I understand all of that, but I just think that they're kind of... magic has run its course there. They had the back-to-back trips to the Final Four. That ain't happening anymore. So yeah, I look at that division and it's not wide open at all. It's a two-horse race, and then I keep going back to it. If you want to get cute, I can hear a world where the Devils kind of join the fray as that third team in the division, but they're not going to win the
thing. I like that. I like a little dark horse bet. Two more that I like from players in the Metro. Well, obviously, Igor Shesterkin to be the Vezina Trophy winner. Plus 350, tied with Andrei Vasilevsky for best odds, and then quite a gap until the third best. I still think that he's going to be probably the best goaltender in this league. I think the best value, though, in terms of an award winner in the Metro, I really like Adam Fox. I think he's a young stud. I know last year he kind of got a little bit more credit than he had previously, but he's fourth best odds to win the Norris. I know Cale Makar is Cale Makar, but you never know what's going to happen. Like, God forbid something happens. It's a long season. You know, the Avs are in, they're running it back. That's great. But Adam Fox could be a sneaky plus 900 bet for Norris. Like, I still think he's in the caliber of a top 1-2 defenseman, but it's hard to bet against Cale Makar. But once again, if you're looking for value, like, do I think that's going to happen? Very low percentage chance, but Cale Makar plus 150 versus, you know, a sprinkle on Adam Fox plus 900. I don't know. I'm a big Adam Fox fan.
I love that. You look at the names that are just ahead of him there. Roman Josi, obviously, he had an incredible year last year, but it feels like, and this is more a narrative thing than an actual play on the ice thing. We said Roman Josi was good last year, so we don't have to do that anymore, is kind of where it feels like this is going. It's like, okay, he was in the conversation. He had the great point season. There. Go away. We're now going to talk about Makar, and we're going to talk about Heiskanen and Hughes and Fox. So I think that the fact that you can get a little extra juice on Fox than you can Josi there, I really, really like that. And then in terms of Hedman at plus 700, he kind of feels like the guy who wins the Norris if nobody has the eye-popping season. If Makar's numbers are human, if Fox's numbers are human, it feels like Hedman is now our standard bearer for safe defenseman that is just kind of perennially put in there. And I'm not saying that as a knock, like he doesn't deserve it. I absolutely think he does. I really like Fox at that number. I got to say, you know, doing what I do with Leafs Nation, I was lucky enough to be there. Great view of both the Rangers games that we saw here, and Fox was incredible. He was a guy who, you see the numbers he puts up, but being a Ranger, it's not like you're watching him every single night. The passing, his passing ability, nobody has an ability that's as wow as Makar and McDavid's skating ability. That is second to 100%. None. But Fox's ability to snap the puck around, these long breakout passes, his poise, his patience, he is incredible. So yeah, I really love you flagging that, because I can easily see a world where, again, narrative thing. We did the thing with Makar. He won the Conn Smythe. He's going to have another great season, but if Fox outscores him and the Rangers are right there, yeah, I can easily see a world where he's your Norris. So I really like you flagging that. That's
all right.
Nice.
Let's do it. Sprinkle a little bit on there. That's Unibet odds plus 900. Anything from this upcoming week to Sunday matchups in the NFL that you've like looked at least as something that is intriguing? I got a couple maybe player props, because that's all I do now apparently is smash those.
I'm looking at it now, and the Steelers are it's such a low kind of favored number for them. The fact that you can get the Steelers at home at plus 105, I know that's not a ton of value there. They're playing the Patriots, and I hate to say this because I'm a Pats fan. The Patriots stink, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while for them to rebuild this machine. I wish you could get more, but the fact that you get, in my opinion, the better team at home at a plus 105 just straight up on the money line there, I would jump all over that, because I do not think that's what the line looks like when Sunday rolls around. I imagine that thing will be moving because money comes flying in. That'd be my guess. But yeah, it's not a big sexy number, but I just think a better team at home and a team that we know knows how to take care of their business in the Steelers, I do like that.
Okay. I got one from the Colts Jaguars game. Jonathan Taylor over rushing yards. Last week it was like 97, and what did he get? 161. Like, this guy, I can't imagine him not having an over 100 another game of the sort. I like that a lot. I also don't know if I have the faith in Tom Brady this weekend. He's the GOAT, but the Saints have beaten him all four times, regular season times, against New Orleans in his time in Tampa. He's thrown 8 interceptions in 4 games against the Saints. Tom Brady over 0.5 interceptions.
Well, even just looking at that game, I missed this earlier, but yeah, the Saints, again, I think you can make the case that the Saints are just as good a team as the Buccaneers are. Obviously, quarterback, there's a gap there, but they're at home. They're plus 120 on the money line there. So again, it's a divisional game. We know the Saints have an awesome home crowd. It's been a weird start to the season for Brady. So if you like him to throw a pick or two in that one, I wonder if you jump on the Saints there at plus 120, just straight money line as well.
I like that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that stood out to me.
I would advise staying all the way away from this game. But again, it has to be stated. Just kudos to Dan Campbell and his Lions
for being favored
in a game. I went to school at Windsor. A lot of people there, they are all Detroit sports fans. I know so many Lions fans in my life, and I love to make fun of them because it's been a brutal existence for pretty much the entire, especially guys roughly my age. You don't remember Barry Sanders. So it's just been bad. It's just been terrible. You remember Megatron, and that's about the only time you smile. I am so happy for them that they get the shot of life and vigor and just life in them that Dan Campbell gives. So I love, love, love that.
I know I mentioned when we had Charles Davis on the show that the Lions have opened up as 2.5-point favorites against, who are they playing?
The Washington. Commanders.
Yeah, the reason this is so terrible, significant, man. It is the first time since November 2020 that they have been favorites in a game. They were 2-point favorites against Carolina, and they lost 20-0 that game.
How bad were the Panthers? My goodness. I'm with Charles Davis. I know you're reading a fact. You're not telling me something, but I don't believe you. They were not favored as recently as 2020. That seems way too soon. And, man, those Panthers, were they bad to ever be not favorites against the Lions?
And they won 20-0. Woof. All right, well, maybe turn things around.
I hope that doesn't happen for all my friends in Windsor and all the Dan Campbell fan club members.
Have you been to a game?
I have. It was pretty cool. It was actually like a terrible game. It was Panthers-Lions when both those teams were not good. But it was rookie year Cam Newton and Calvin Johnson in his prime. Lower bowl seats. I had an absolute time. So, yes, I enjoyed that.
I've never been, but the atmosphere looks great.
Yeah, it's great.
Hopefully sprinkle that in one day. Okay, so both of my wake and rake potential bets were from the Blue Jays. So, unfortunately, I can't give them to you. But the over in the game, whatever that is, I'll be sprinkling that. And Matt Chapman to get a home run, LOCK, possibly, for that one. But I have to pick one that is actually on the board with Unibet. So I'm going to go Aaron Judge over 1.5 bases plus money today. He's got 41 bases and 43 at-bats. In September alone, he's hitting around .500. He's inevitable. He's chasing the home run record. They're playing the Brewers. They're only minus -125 on the money line, but I'm just going to go with the player prop tonight. I think there's not a lot of people as hot as Aaron Judge right now in baseball, and to get plus money on him to record over 1.5 bases to me sounds like pretty good value. It has already moved to minus -115 actually, so
hurry up.
Don't worry about it, still bet it. Okay, minus -115 over 1.5 bases, Aaron Judge tonight.
I like that a lot. My bet, I'm not going to go as far as to throw a lock on it because it's baseball. But we're going to the Braves and the Phillies. Max Fried, Ranger Suarez, both guys have been locked in this year. Both lefties, so that does make it a little more interesting. Unibet's actually, I just moved the line there to under 8, so you do get a chance to push if it doesn't work out for you. But under 8 total for the match, you can get minus -122 there. Couple of great pitchers. I know the Braves have a great offense, but I trust Fried and Suarez. So there you go. Take the under, and that gets you a minus -122. If you want to get a little greedier and get the under at 7.5, then you get it at minus -104 there. So, that's what, you know what? Let's get a little greedy. Let's go under 7.5 in Phillies and Braves tonight. That pays out minus -104 there.
So I'm going to put it in our parlay, and I'll tell you our odds. With Aaron Judge over 1.5 bases tonight and the under in the Phillies Braves, we're at plus +268 on Unibet. That's under 7.5. Gunning's getting greedy. I like it. Bonus picks, Matt Chapman home run and the Blue Jays Orioles over in tonight's game. I'll be at the ballpark. No one will win the award of an A-list photo that you might get when you win the tickets to go see the Maple Leafs next weekend. You get a Brent Gunning photo. Even more worthwhile. So I hope somebody wins.
Don't think the texters agree, but that's very nice of you to say.
No, it's very nice. Appreciate you joining this morning, Grinder. I don't know if we'll see you for a little while, so.
I don't know either.
On this show. You're a real employment now.
That's right. I do. Yes. The fun of summer and me giving various Blue Jays takes is coming to an end. but Leafs panic will be coming to your airways very soon. As soon as at that game that we gave tickets away to Gordon, I'll be down at the rink. So I'm very excited for that. Leafs preseason starting up a couple Saturdays from now at home. 1 o'clock. Double dip. We got the first one. So hopefully see you there.
Love it. Appreciate you joining and joining many times throughout the summer. That was the Wake and Rake. That was brought to you by Unibet. The Ailish Hour, the final Ailish Hour of the summer, is up next, and I'll be talking to the guy that's taken over this time slot, JD Bunkus of the JD Bunkus podcast, which was announced yesterday. Will be joining
Big
me.
Get. Big get.
I'm surprised he would
stay just hot, Danielle.
I'm surprised he wanted to come on. We've talked too much over the last year, but we're going to talk to JD. Also, East Gwillimbury's very own Kevin Pangos. That's next on the Ailish Hour. Thanks for listening so far. Thanks, Brent. And that's next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.